I'm going to go back again. It has just, I cannot get away from it. It keeps burning. It keeps coming back to me. And I just feel it would be inappropriate. It would be appropriate here this afternoon to just revisit it. I don't know that I've ever went back and done it that so soon. I've gone back to titles and sermons. I rarely ever just take an outline. I always rework the sermon, but I just, God speaks it to me afresh. But it's only been a few weeks since I shared. There were several folks that were not here. But I'm just going to revisit where I feel led to go, and I'm going to do it. I'd like you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I feel His presence right now, I'm telling you, church. God's in this house this afternoon. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo, glory to the Lamb of God. Is everybody happy here? And we'll read just some verses and then we'll connect them, all right? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read verse 7 and go from there. So follow with me. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 16. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 2 of chapter 5. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our home or our house from heaven. Verse 9. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, that we may be accepted of Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Hallelujah. And that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose. Again, would you say a hearty amen to the Scripture this afternoon? Amen. You may be seated. Would you just oblige me here a little bit this afternoon and let me just share a few things on my heart. This passage. How many would agree with me here this afternoon? Well, let me just ask it to you this way. How many would say that your life for Christ or living for Christ in these latter days seems to be more stressful? I don't mean that in the sense that there's less victory. I just mean that there's a lot more pressure that is coming against true believers than we've ever experienced. How many would be willing to raise your hand and say, I felt that pressure. I felt a greater pressure. Seems like we're getting fewer in number. When you get fewer in number, that means that there's more pressure that is placed upon those few. You have less people to carry the load. Amen. We're getting more opposition. Here we are in our country. We've seen it. It's not just America. It's all over the world. Christianity is truly becoming the object of hatred by every nation that is upon the face of the earth. It should not catch us unawares. Jesus warned us about it years ago. And ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And we're there. It may be also just because we live in a day of technology and a day of knowledge. I don't know. But there's a lot of things. It just seems to me that life has gotten more stressful, and I've had to reach up for more grace than I've ever had before. I've had to dig in and find a greater resource that exists in my Lord and tap into a flow, I'm telling you, that's bigger and greater than I've ever known before. More is being done. More pressures are coming to us, and we need to do more than we've ever done before. And I don't know about you, but But that is, I think, the normal Christian life is such that we do not live in an ideal world. We're going to one day live in a world where the devil's in the bottomless pit and the glory of God fills the earth. We're not always going to be a city on a hill and a candle in a house. One of the days we're going to be like a sun that's shining, hallelujah. Right now we're just a city on a hill. We're just a candle in the house. But Matthew 13 says, in that day the righteous will shine as the sun. One day, right now, we are the minority, but one day we will be the majority. Now, our Lord is hated and ridiculed. One day He will be praised and magnified. Our earth is filled with violence. It will one day be filled with peace. And the glory of God shall fill the earth from sea to sea. And the righteous God that reigns from heaven will reign visibly upon this earth. And every nation on this earth will bring their tithes unto the Lord God and honor the King that's in Jerusalem. And an entire world is going to live in the visible presence of God, without a devil, without a demon, without an unclean spirit. And the peace of God is going to fill this planet, and man is going to be in harmony. You want to talk about being at one with nature? I tell you, when you can really get a right perspective of nature is when the King of Peace comes back and the Creator of this universe sets things right again, and you and I have no fear from the beast of the field, and we can live as God would have us to live in His world. But we're not there yet. Matter of fact, the sorrows are increasing. The groaning is increasing. It's getting tighter, not looser. It's getting more difficult, not easier. It's getting more pressure, not less. That's where you are. That's where I am. And if this message doesn't mean anything to you, it's because you're not doing anything for Jesus Christ. But if you're doing anything for Jesus Christ, the devil's after you. And I'm telling you right now, you need to understand that the enemy is such that I want the enemy to hear about this church. There are many churches. He doesn't need to worry about giving them the time of day. He doesn't need to worry about sending an envoy there. But when you got somebody that's doing something and seeking to reach out for the Lord Jesus Christ, you just well expect a warfare, because that's where it's coming to. It's coming to the people that are interested and excited and busy about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Complacent people are no threat to the enemy.
Right. Come on, brother. Right.
I want God to stir up some revolutionaries among us. If Jesus tarries, America's going to need another one. You may not agree with that, but I believe if Jesus tarries, this nation's going to need, if the Lord doesn't just take it out, but if He wants us to exist, we're going to need another revolution. We're going to need some men with some backbones going to be able to stand up and stand up for what's right and fight for what is right and die for what is right again and say, it's worth dying for 200 years ago, it's worth dying for today. And here we are, you and I in this place, and we're living under this pressure. And that was Paul's life. When you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, here was a man that's under pressure, always being delivered up to death, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. You read about his life and it almost seems contradictory. Every day I'm dying and yet I'm living. Every day I'm cast down to be destroyed and yet I'm not destroyed. Every day I'm pushed out as if I'm forsaken and yet I'm not forsaken. Every day the pressure's on my life to put me in straits and yet I don't feel cramped at all. I'm moving forward in Jesus Christ, and that's how I feel. I feel there's more pressure in my life there's ever been, and yet I've found a greater liberty in Jesus Christ than I've ever found, and a greater power, because I'm coming to learn the secret that this man understood. You need to understand something. You and I don't have the power to stand on our own. 1 Peter chapter 1 says you and I are kept by the power of God. Paul said it this way: we have this treasure. He talked about the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, that it is shined under our hearts. He gave us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful possession that you and I have. Christ in us, the hope of glory. I'm telling you, church, we have a great, wonderful, precious gift that God is living and dwelling in us. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. We are the children of the King. We are the people who God calls His special people. We're the apple of His eye. Hallelujah. We are folks whom He died for to redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto Him. We're the bride of Christ. We're the wife. life of Jesus. We're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the branch and He is the vine. We are His people, chosen out and called from out of this world to live and stand up in this world for Jesus Christ, our King. But sometimes we forget that we have this wonderful possession and gift and treasure. It is in a clay pot. What you and I possess, we possess it in clay vessels. I'm telling you, you can say what you want to, but clay pots don't have a lot of strength. No, sir. They crack very easily. You can't put pressure on them like you can a cast iron skillet. Paul didn't say we have this treasure in cast iron pots or in iron vessels. We've got this wonderful gift within us, but it is living and existing and with us in a clay pot that easily cracks. And that's how it is, and we forget sometimes the only sustaining power that you and I have in this world. And I'm going to give you that secret in just a moment. We need more than outside. We need something inside to sustain us, because we're living in a clay pot and the pressure can crack that pot. I'm telling you right now that if you don't have what it takes in this last hour, the pressure's going to crack your pot and you're going to break all to pieces and you're not going to be able to make it in. I need something in this hour to keep me up in the midst of the pressure and the midst of the difficulty. I need a sustaining power. I need the secret of God. I need to know what it is to dwell in the presence of the Most High God. Give me this sustaining power so that I can live this life in the vessel for which God has chosen me to live it. Four things Paul said that he gave, that he told us, that sustains him. Normally, you can't put great pressure on a clay pot. But God has taken these clay pots and has put them in the greatest fire and the greatest stress that can ever be done. And yet, we're not destroyed. What's your secret, Paul? Paul said, I'm going to give them to you. He gave us four things. Number one, he said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. You can put a lot of pressure on a vessel from the outside if it's got something to sustain it from the inside. That airplane gets up there so many thousand feet in the air, and there is a tremendous amount of pressure. That plane has to be built in such a way. It's built out of steel, rivets, and put that thing together. But they've got to pump that cabin full of air. They've got to pump that thing full of pressure so that they can equalize the pressure on the inside, and it can match the pressure that's on the outside. If you didn't put pressure on the inside of that airplane, that outside pressure would cave it in and it wouldn't be able to sustain it. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't have an inward sustaining power in your life and have something on the inside, because the pressure's coming from without. I need this pressure where it says, on the inside, where it says, greater is He that's in me than is in the world. Yeah, there's an outside pressure, but I got an inside pressure that's pushing out on that outside and keeping this clay pot from cracking. And it's the power of the Spirit of the Lord that absolutely inhabits and dwells in this vessel. My inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, I don't think we get that. I'm not just talking about a refreshing. Refreshing are good, but He didn't say refreshed. He said renewed. There's a little bit of a difference here, and let me just bring it home to you. Brother John stood up here just a little bit ago and leading singing, and he said what it was really all about. He talked about how happy that he was, and then the salvation of God that's come to him. We've heard other folks that testify and say, my salvation is just as real, even more so today than it was, because it's renewal. I'm going to tell you something that's happened in many people in the church. Your salvation's got old on you. Your Christian experience has been become stagnant and stale, and it's come to a place that it's boring for you right now. You sit maybe even here this afternoon, and it seems old hat to you. It just seems like it's something that is just over and over. It's just monotonous. If your Christian life has gotten monotonous, you need a renewal. You need something that puts you down and says, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says it makes it new again, Brother John. When we got saved, we were made a new creature. But God didn't ever want us getting old. He said He'll make us over and over and over. Paul said that in there. That out man's getting old, but that inward man's getting new every morning. And I'm telling you, the salvation of God becomes something to me that is new every day. It's a new experience in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You can just watch the expression on people's faces. Come to church and they're dragging. Get in a worship service and they just sit there like knots on a log. Don't even know what to do. Look around at other folks who are rejoicing and praising God as if they're loony, going loco or something. And don't understand, well, I don't know what that's all about. Or they're just in the flesh. Now, I'm in this flesh, all right. I'm in a clay pot. And this clay pot needs some stress relief. It needs something on the inside. And the greatest stress relief I've found is to get in the presence of the Holy Ghost like I feel right here. Here this afternoon and get that man made new, and my salvation becomes so rich and new all over to me again, and I'm happy to be on this way to glory and know that I'm going to make it. It's not getting old, it's not getting stale, it's getting renewed every day. Hallelujah.
Go ahead, preach. Glory to God. Yeah.
Now, I don't understand it. Talk to folks, you think, during their last leg, hadn't felt God in so long. I'm just here to tell you something. If you don't know how to get a renewal on that inward man, you're in a heap of trouble. And I'm here to tell you right now, you will not withstand the pressure of these last days. You have not even begun to see the pressure that's going to come to your vessel. If a little bit of pressure keeps you out of church now, you're lost and you're gone. If a little bit of pressure keeps you from your prayer closet now, you can just hang it up. You're already gone. And I'm telling you what this pressure does for me. It makes me feel my weakness. When I start feeling that clay pot start cracking, when I feel that pressure on the outside and it just starts overwhelming my soul, I tell you what this preacher's doing. He's running, and I'm running to that secret place. I'm going to that high tower. I'm running to that strong wall. I'm running to that stone that is cut out of the mountain. I'm running to the rock of ages, and I'm going to throw myself on that stone, and I'm going to say, here I am. You told me to cast all my care upon you because you care for me. You told me, Lord, to put it in your lap and you'll take care of it. Here it is, Lord. Lift me up above the shadows and plant my feet on higher ground. Hallelujah. The second thing Paul said in chapter 5 and verse 2, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I am preaching this twice because God told me to. You better get a hold of these principles. I am telling you, you better get these simple truths in your life. Your clay pot is coming under a lot of pressure. Yeah, we're groaning. Paul had a mindset that most Christians don't have. I'm feeling it. We're all aging. Our young men don't feel it. You don't notice it when you're 20. You may not even notice it when you're 30. But when you start approaching 50, you start to feel a few things that you didn't feel. You do. You feel some changes going on in your body. You feel a little bit more limitations coming on. We start fighting against it. We start exercising. We start changing diet. We start maybe paying more attention to some of those things because we just feel it. We're in this tabernacle. We're in this tent. Read it in chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's what we're in. He uses that word first. If our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's what he calls it. A tabernacle. That means a tent. It's a temporary tent. That's all it is. This body in which you and I now dwell is a tent. Tents don't fare well in storms. That's just the way it is. Tents don't do very good. If I'm in a tornado, I don't want to be in a tent. If I'm in a storm, I'd rather be somewhere in a concrete bunker. I really don't want to be in a tent with the wind, with the canvas flapping in the wind. But that's what you're in, my friend. You're in a tent. That's all. You're in the middle of a storm and you're in a tent. But I got another building. If you destroy this tent, if the storm comes and wipes it out, if the Lord allows me to leave this body and I die, it goes back to the dust. But He said, I got something. We have a building. He didn't say we have a tabernacle. We got a building. That's a permanent structure. That's not something that's temporary with the canvas flapping in the wind. That's walls of stone and brick that have been built. It's a permanent structure. You can destroy this temple, my friend. You can take away this tabernacle. And I'm telling you something. I've got a building that God's planned for me. I got another body that I'm going to. And I'm looking forward to getting that body so I can serve the Lord Jesus Christ in His kingdom. Hallelujah. I've been saying it recently and I'll just repeat it in case we're not getting it. We've got to change our mindset that the gospel is not just something to get people to heaven. Your mission is really not so much heaven. Not degraded it. I know we're going. I want to go. I'm anxious to see it. I'm anxious to get there. I'd be tickled pink if the Lord come right now. If the trumpet sounded right this minute, I'd be the happiest man around. Wouldn't hurt my feelings. Wouldn't feel I'd lost anything. I don't have anybody to apologize to. I don't have anything to go correct. I got no debts left unpaid. I'm telling you, I just want you to understand that I'd be happy about that. But the goal of my life has not been so much to get to heaven and get free from this tabernacle. My goal has been to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. The songwriter said we were born to serve the Lord, and that's a fact. You were not created for your own work or to do your own thing. You were made to serve God. That's why God made us. That's why He put us here. We're servants of the Lord. We're made under Him, and we're made to serve Him in all particulars. And understand, that's not only my purpose now, it's going to be my purpose for all of eternity. But we've got this mindset that I'm simply just going to go to heaven and oh, all the work is over, all the labor's over, all the trouble's over, everything's behind me, and I'm just going to lay down on the riverbank and there it is. I'm just going to chew on a banana leaf for the rest of my days and all eternity. And people think about that and it bores them stiff. And they say, well, what's the use for that? What kind of thing is that? That would bore me to death. Well, it would bore you to death if that's all you were, but that's not what God's made us for. We're coming back to this earth and we're going to live. And we're going to rule and we're going to reign. Paul said, I got a mindset. I'm serving God. And now I got to do it in a tabernacle. Now I got to serve Him in a tent. But I'm looking forward to the day when I can have the building that God's made for me. And I can serve Him with the power and the energy like I've never known before. Lay this body down in weakness and it'll be raised in power. Lay it down in shame and it'll be raised in glory for the purpose and the kingdom of God Almighty.
Amen. Yes.
I'm going to be frank with you, we're lazy.
Go ahead.
And quite frankly, our presentation of heaven is a lazy appeal. And people don't see that heaven is God's throne. Heaven is God's throne. Heaven doesn't just contain God's throne. Heaven is God's throne. Isn't that what He said? Heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. Isn't that what He said? I'm telling you, all of heaven is God's throne room, folks. That's all I know about it. Every picture I ever see of it is God sitting on the throne. Every picture I ever get of heaven is God sitting there and the angels, glory, glory. I saw Him high and lifted up in His train field, the temple. John sees Him over there and He's on the throne. I mean, every time you look up in heaven, God's there. He's ruling, He's governing. I don't get any talk about buildings or whatnot. It's just the throne room of God. The buildings are here, church. New Jerusalem's coming here. This is where you and I are going to live. And oh, we're hungry. Behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us to call us the the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to know what it's like to live in a glorified body and serve the King of glory for all of my days. We talk about life as if it's almost just nothing. And eternity is just a lazy playground. You're made to serve and you're going to serve.
Right.
And the true Christian mindset is that the greatest in the kingdom is He who serves.
Right.
The greatest in the kingdom. That Him, that's why He's great. Why is He great? He's not great so much because He's better than somebody else. He's not great because He's just, God's elevating Him above. No, the greatest in the kingdom is a servant. Why? Because that man has come to understand what the kingdom's all about. He is great because he's understood the truth of the kingdom. To some folks, the kingdom is all glamour and glitter. To some folks, the kingdom is just all blessing and no work. I'm telling you something, the greatest blessing you and I can have that we can work, but be able to work in a body that doesn't fight against us all the time. Be able to work in a piece of flesh that isn't going downhill, but rather is staying up with what we got on the inside. Hallelujah. Oh, what a wonderful joy that's going to be. And Paul said, that's what keeps me going. I got my eye on a tabernacle. I got my eye on a building God's got made for me. I'm not looking to be unclothed. I'm looking to be clothed upon. I'm not looking to become a gas and float around in the sky. I'm not looking to be an angel. I'm not looking to be a spirit and float around and talk to people and get on top of them and do this and that and reprove old Uncle Fred. No, sir. What I'm looking for is to get a new body and to get a new place where I can live and serve my God forever. Hallelujah. The third thing Paul said, he said, we're going to judgment and we labor. Now, I want you to get this in case you don't think all I've said to this point is true. Verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 5. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent. Would it be all right if I came down here this afternoon? You might be less tempted to fall asleep for right this moment. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him.
Yeah.
We labor whether present or absent. The present or absence there had to do with being in this body. If I am here in this body, I am absent from the Lord. That is, I am not where He is. Oh, glory. You know, Jesus didn't really even emphasize heaven in John chapter 14. That's not what He emphasized. When He said, believe in God, believe also me, in my Father's house are many mansions or many rooms. I go to prepare a room or a place for you. And He didn't say, so you could be in heaven. He said that where I am, there you may be also. What Jesus wants is you and I to be with Him visibly in His presence. That's what He wants from us, Brother John. He wants literally to hold our hand and to walk with us. He enjoyed that with His disciples when He walked the sea of the shores of Galilee, and He wants to do it visibly in this world, live and walk with His people. But now we are absent. We do not see Him visibly. But one day we will be present with Him, and we are laboring so that whether we are here and absent from Him or whether we are there and present with Him, we will be accepted by Him. He said, for we must all appear. I spoke about it in my message this morning. The word appear here, we read it, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We read it as if it's just that we all have to stand present before the seat of Christ. Well, that's true, but that's not the word appear. The word appear here is translated manifest. It is this, for we shall all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. When I'm there, I'm going to appear, all right. Everything that's in me is going going to be visible. Everything I've done is going to be visible. Everything I've said, every idle word shall men give an account thereof in the day of judgment. He said He will bring into judgment every work, whether it is good or whether it be evil. God is going to stand me there, and there'll be no hiding. There'll be nothing that I can do to turn Him away if the judgment is negative. It's done. It's over with. There is no appeal beyond this court. I will absolutely be naked and exposed before the throne room of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Go ahead.
We must all stand in front of God, if I can put it this way, naked, exposed, revealed, manifested. So that we can receive the things done in His body. Do you want to know what kept Paul going? Sometimes I rely on it. Even sometimes when the inward man's being made new, pressure gets tough. Even sometimes when I'm looking forward to that new body, and it's a hope. There's an amazing thing hope can do for a man. Just if he knows there's a better tomorrow, he can endure today. Just that knowledge alone that can do something powerful. But sometimes even that gets a little fuzzy. Sometimes I'll reach a little deeper, Brother John, and what will drive me to that pulpit to preach when I know it might not be accepted. What will drive me to preach that message on a Sunday morning, Mother's Day, and I know it's not a Mother's Day message and it might throw people off the kilter right from the start. I'm going to tell you what drives me. There's sometimes I reach down and it's not just that I've been renewed. It's not just that I know I got a new body that's coming. It's the fact that I know one day I'm going to stand in the presence of the King of Glory. And I'm going to have to answer to Him, Brother John, and I can't hide it. You can, when you got that kind of mindset, you get rid of the pretense. You get rid of the hypocrisy. You don't come to church and make a play act. You don't come to church and put on a show. It isn't a show to me, friend. If I shout in this church, it's real. You can bet you on that. If I tell you I love God, you know it's real. I'm not doing this for your business or your sake, because I know one day I know the terror of the Lord. I know the dread of my God. I'm going to be judged by a holy God. And I don't want to come up short when I stand in the presence of the King. I want to be able to hear Him say, "Thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." Hallelujah.
Go ahead. Glory. Oh, yeah.
Quite frankly, we've lost the fear of God.
Right.
Yes. We can say things, we can cop attitudes, we can do things, and our conscience isn't affected, our spirits are not grieved, and we don't have any sense that God is watching what we say and what we do. I'm telling you, I don't know about you. I remember reading a little poem one day when man wrote and said, "Others can, I can't." I've got that a lot sometimes in my life. I see folks, and my wife will say, "Well, Danny, I don't know. People just act different around us. When they're around us, everything's good. But then we hear from this person and that person that when we're not there, it's a different story. If you act different around the preacher than you do in your home, you're a first-class hypocrite, and I'm telling you right now, if you put on a show in front of this preacher and you go out in your friends and your workplace and you're somebody different, you are a first-class hypocrite. No, sir. What you are in front of me ought to be what you are everywhere you are, because God sees us no matter where we are. We're the people of God, and judgment's coming, and we got to give an account. Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah.
We're afraid to be real.
Right.
Come on, brother. We're afraid to be real. Uh-huh. Now, I'm just going to be honest with you. I wasn't a hypocrite about it, but I just, when I got to feeling that pressure, there have been times in this church I felt that pressure. Guests are in here on Sunday morning. We got folks coming here, Brother John, and your temptation, keep it low key now. John, don't sing a fast one. Sister Knox is going to get happy.
Come on, man.
Steve going to fly off a handle up here and start speaking in tongues. My daughter Abigail's liable to shout and her hair is going to flap in the wind.
Amen. Go ahead. Yeah.
It don't take much to move that girl.
Go ahead. Amen.
Amen. Give us more. That's right. Woo! That's our temptation. Just keep it calm today. Don't get real excited today. Let me tell you something. What are we going to do? Keep it calm forever? What are we going to do? Ease them in this thing? No, so I think our water baptism is indicative of that. It's one of our conversion. God that leads you into this thing. Our conversion isn't a sprinkling. It's an immersion and it's a quick one. Woo, glory to God. I'm telling you what God does. He takes you, that cold, old, rotten, hard-hearted sinner. He don't take you and just slowly ease you into it. He dunks you. Full-fledged dunk. Right into the presence and the glory of God Almighty. Hallelujah. Oh, it's a shock. I baptized them. I went out there as a preacher. It's easier for me. I ease into the water. But I look at them and when they go down, I know something. That water's freezing and they're in for the shock of their life. And I'm ready and I dunk them down. It's cold, man. It's a shocker. Christianity is a shocker. It's different than the world. Light will always shock you when you've been living in the dark. Hallelujah. When you've been living in sin and sickness, the wealth and the holiness of God will give you a shock to your system. We want to try to put on something we're not. All
right,
so they don't discover it the first Sunday. What are we going to do? Tone it down Wednesday for them? What are we going to do? Tone it down? I'm going to be quite frank with you. I'm ready for the heat to be turned up, not down. And I've come to the place, and it is God's had to deal with me. I'm not above. I'm telling you, God's had to work on this preacher. Because I felt that. I felt that pressure, Brother John. And quite frankly, I believe there's times I cave to it. You know, I just preach them a good message so they go around. I'm telling you, we haven't had any more success. We haven't had a bit more success. I just this morning just let it go. Preach it. It ain't a Mother's Day sermon. But two people in sin were under conviction this morning. I'm going to tell you, the brother said it right. It ain't so much the preacher. Half the folks that get saved in the church house couldn't even tell you what the preacher preached. They couldn't even remember what sermon it was. All they know is something got a hold of me. The Holy Ghost got a hold of my life. And that's what it's going to take. It is what it is. We don't need to paint it different. We don't need to change the scenery. Just give them the full dose. It's God or nothing. Hallelujah. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. We don't handle the Word of God craftily. No, sir, I'm not going to take this thing and sneak around the back door and tell you it's something different. I'd rather know up front. Give it to me full face, preacher. Let me know what it's all about. It's in or out. It's heaven or hell. It's glory or shame. Hallelujah.
Amen. That's right.
Woo!
Yeah.
I just come to the place that we're just going to need to let God have His way.
Right.
I'm going to preach what I preach. I hope the Holy Ghost falls.
Right.
You can check church history. You can listen to testimony after testimony. Every time a congregational minister has tried to take it in control and tone it down to please someone that's coming to church, it is always a failure.
Right. Amen.
It has never succeeded.
Right.
There's only one thing that succeeds, and that's raw, naked truth.
Right.
We manifest the truth to every man's conscience. Paul said also, and I trust also that we are made manifest unto your consciences. I want you to understand that. This preacher is who this preacher is. And sometimes, quite frankly, when we're in pressure and we have struggle, and I'm just going to share a little episode. My brother's mature enough. He can deal with it and he'll be all right. But I happened to be at Brother Al's work the other day. And he was in there. I really wasn't paying any attention. attention, but I just noticed he was talking with some of his employees, and they got upset. I don't know what was going on. I don't know all about it, but Al, he had to kind of put the hammer on him. And he had to just kind of, he raised his voice out. He just had to knock him in the head. Well, you know what? Sometimes we down ourselves. We think that sometimes that just because we're a Christian, we should go around all the time and never raise our voice, and everything ought to be as smooth as butter. I don't think Jesus went into that temple when he had to knock some sense into some people and just said, "I'd like y'all to get out of here now. I'd really like to be nice and kind about this, but I'd really like you to leave." I don't think that was his temper. No, when he looked around in that temple or in that synagogue and he said to those fellas, "Tell me something. Is it lawful to do good or is it lawful to do evil on the Sabbath day?" Which is, and the Bible said he was angry with the hardness of their heart. Sometimes you got to raise your voice. Sometimes you got to knock some sense into people. Some people don't know any other way. It don't mean you've sinned. It just means you got some passion in life to you and you can put it out. It does sin to get angry. It's a sin to do wrong things in your anger, but it's not a sin to show folks I mean what I say. Because it may not be affecting you, but it is me. You may be dead, but I'm alive. You may not understand it, but I do. You may not feel it, but I do. Hallelujah. It is glory and it is wonderful. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not saying we shouldn't grow. I'm not saying we shouldn't learn more. I'm not saying we shouldn't have more and more of the Spirit and grow in temperance. I'm not saying all of those things. But who we are, we are.
Right.
I'm saying this. Don't be a hypocrite.
Right.
If you've got a failure, you've got a failure.
Right.
If you're passionate, you're passionate.
Right.
Praise God. It means you're living.
Right.
If you're happy, you're happy.
Right. Amen. That's it, bro.
Is it befitting for me to sit in the church house in the presence of God? I didn't get to 1 Corinthians 14. I'll come back to it, but I will tell you one thing about it. I was going to say, and that's this. 1 Corinthians 14 does deal with some regulations in reference to the manifestation of the Spirit, in reference to tongues and interpretation and prophecy. But it is not a regulation of church worship. It may be a regulation in the sense of gifts of the Spirit and how they are manifested in us. But it is not a regulation of praise and prayer in the house of God. The house of God ought to be full of the praises and the prayers of the saints of God. And when we gather together, sometimes we wanted to turn on all the limits and turn it all down. I wish we had ever seen in this place so full of the Holy Ghost that they were filled with joy like a bubble on a skillet. And all you had to do was get in and begin to dig in the Word, and people just praise the Lord, full of God and full of His grace and glory. We get a lot further than pumping or priming for 30 minutes until we got alive and finally got tuned into the message. First 30 minutes, we got to get it on tape because we can't get it the first time. Are you with me? Say amen. I'll close it down with this last point. I've told you three things. Number one, renewal of your inward man. Number two, the hope of a resurrected body. And number three, we're coming to judgment. There's a fourth thing that keeps us going, brother. And keeps this clay pot from cracking, Brother Ross. And it's the love of Christ. The brother preached about it over there in Chuck Wimpy the other night. It constrains us.
Yeah.
It hems me in. I said a while ago, talk about that man, that poem. I don't think I finished my thought. I do that sometimes. Others can, I can't. I said, my wife, you know, she comes and says, you know, how come they can do that and we can't? You know, I don't know. Maybe I do things you can't do. I don't know. I'm just telling you, there's times I see folks and I'm not really even trying to condemn them or criticize them. I just think, I don't know how they do that. I can't do that.
Right.
But maybe I can do some things you can't. I don't know. I'm sure that's true. But there's something I need to understand about that. I am who I am in Jesus Christ. And there's something about it that when you love God, you're going to find something happening. You aren't going to need a hardcore rule in your life. You're not going to need some black and white law to get you to do the right thing or to keep you from doing the wrong thing. There's going to be a sensitivity in you. You're going to feel the sense of the Holy Ghost in you that's burning like a fire. And brother, there's going to be some things, and maybe some other immature Christians, they don't know yet. They can't see it. You can't even explain it. You can't even go to the book and tell them up and down and give them five scriptures so much and tell the right and wrong of it. You just know one thing. It has an ill effect on your being. It has a negative effect on your spirit. And there's something in you that motivates you and drives you, and it's greater than anything else. And it's nothing but a love of Jesus Christ. You're just so caught up with it. You're just so captivated by Him. You just love Him. What makes you deliver your body to death? What makes you give yourself to death? And God gives you renewal, and then you go back and do it this next day. You go do it all over again. You pour your life out, then you do it all over again. Why? Because of the love of God that burns in our heart, and I cannot go back. Because this love, he said, the love of Christ constraineth us. It's like the word constrain means like you take a ship. You ever seen those canals? You've seen pictures of the Panama Canal? It's a little narrow channel. And them ships have to get down there. They have to leave that broad, wide ocean. They have to narrow it down, tighten them right down, keep them on a straight course right through that. That's what the love of Christ will do to you. It'll hem you in, Brother John. It'll make you go when you don't feel like going.
Right. That's true.
It'll reach out to love the unlovable.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes, sir. When you feel like, well, nobody hears me, nobody's listening to my preaching, it'll make you go back and do it all over again.
Amen.
Yes, sir. It'll make you go out there and preach to that world. I thought about Brother Borgall. I don't know what in the world drives that man to go back on a college campus and preach to that God-forsaken crowd and blasphemers and all kinds of wickedness and mess that goes on. I mean, the worst kind you can preach to, and yet they need God, and they need to hear a voice, and they need something to shock their system and wake them up. And if God uses that man, I know there ain't but one thing that drives him. It's got to be the love of Jesus Christ. Because love will work when everything else falls apart. They said that. That's when you get in war and you get in battle. When a man is in the foxhole, he's in the trenches and he's fighting. I'm telling you, he's tired. He's been 2 or 3 days, he hadn't had any sleep. His body is wore out. He is absolutely exhausted. The enemy is all around him. He's getting shelled. He's looking at the bloody bodies of his buddies that have been blown to pieces and they're laying there. And I'm telling you something right now. What keeps a man going? And there have been many a soldier, and his mind begins to turn towards home, and he thinks of that wife that's waiting on him, and he thinks of those children that are back there, and he thinks of that country that he wants to keep free, and something in him just says, I gotta go on. I gotta go on. It's the love of Christ. I'm telling you, when your desire for reward fails, love will pick you up. When your fear of the judgment fails, love will pick you up. Hallelujah. And love will bring you on, so you can say, I'm here, Lord. I'm yours, and I want to march on for you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Just the thought that that man has some connection that he loves. His wages aren't enough to keep him doing it. Not when he's in that foxhole. No, sir. He couldn't give him enough medals to keep him going. And bullets are flying over you. No, it ain't a Purple Heart. It isn't some congressional medal of reward. No, sir. It isn't any of that at all. No reward. No, sir. Well, the fear of anything bad happening to him. Well, he might be afraid of dying. I don't know about that. But that isn't really what it is. I've been many a soldier carry around with him many times a picture of a wife, a picture of a child, just to remind him, what you fighting for? This is what I'm fighting for. Who am I fighting for? I tell you whom I'm fighting for. I'm fighting for the King of Glory. I'm fighting for the one who fights for me. Glory to God. And I'm really nothing in this battle. He's everything. But understand this. It is the love of Jesus Christ. And if it's not burning in your heart, your pot's going to crack.
Amen. Yes, sir. Oh, yes.
Stand on your feet this afternoon. I know we had a momentary lapse of whatever. This afternoon. I don't know if God's ministered to you, but He has to me.
Oh, yes.
I'm just glad we had church this afternoon. And I'm just telling you something. We're in struggle, and your clay pot isn't strong enough to make it. You need your salvation getting renewed. Every day.
Mm-hmm.
On a consistent, regular basis.
Sometimes, quite honestly, I don't have to have it renewed. It was day by day. It wasn't so much daily. But it was day after day is the idea. Whatever period of time that is, whatever interval, it wasn't necessarily daily. Now, I'm going to tell you, there have been some times that God has just given me a hit, so to speak. It carries me for quite a while. If you understand what I'm saying. And sometimes, every day, it's got to be. But that's where we are. You need it. Inward renewal. Say it with me. Inward renewal. I got to have it. The hope of a resurrected body. Would you say that? The hope of a resurrected body. Number three, the judgment of Christ. And number four, the love of Christ. Why are we sitting here? Our bodies have been wearied. People have come for several hundred miles, all the way from Florida, all the way from Tennessee. There are people that have driven 2-3 hours to be in church this morning. How long did it take you to get here, Brother Steve?
1 hour and 15 minutes.
I don't know if the O'Connors came from Elizabeth City, but almost 2 hours, 1 hour and 45 minutes to get to the house of God. But why? What are we doing it for? Well, we're committed to this religious thing. We're committed to WPC. You better have more than that. That's going to die. You better have a love for Jesus Christ. Like you ain't never had in all of your heart. Oh. You love Him, Brother Ross. You love Him, Brother John. I love Him. He's better to me than anybody else. And I love Him. Is anybody happy besides this preacher? When I felt so good. Why don't you lift your hand and thank Him? And say, God, keep this clay pot. God, keep this clay pot from cracking. God, keep this clay pot from cracking. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You and I praise You. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Shandaram.